Let's always go back to the old. It's good to start with the old. It's good to start with the old. Most pastors start with the new. They don't even want to go to the old. I like to go to the old. The old is the foundation, right? All right. Let's look at 33. And we're going to start at verse. Did you get a little bit? All right. All right. Get the tape. This will be the tape on that. All right. And it came to pass, 33:9. Exodus 33:9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the tent, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle and talked with Moses. So what was Moses talking to, God or a cloudy pillar? He was talking to God, but he was talking to God inside a cloudy pillar. That's interesting. So he was talking to God, but he actually was talking to a cloudy pillar with God on the inside of it, and he couldn't see him. This morning when I woke up, I noticed there was a fog outside. Anybody see that? And you could only see so many yards, but you couldn't see far, far away because the cloud hid far, far away. So only you could see, a few yards ahead of yourself. So if you looked outside, it was right on the ground. I mean, it was right down on the ground. So you could not see a long distance. All right. Now Moses was talking to God, but he was God hidden inside a cloud. So was he talking to God face to face? Yes, because he could hear his voice, but actually he couldn't see his face. So even though he's seeing his face, he's not really seeing his face. Even though they're talking face to face, he's not actually seeing his face. He's not seeing his face. First John tells us that no man has ever seen God. So he didn't see his face. Didn't see his face. And all the people saw, Exodus 33:10, all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. So worship comes because God was present. God was present, so they worshiped God. Now I'm going to make you move today. I'm going to do things with your head. I'm going to mess your head up so that you don't follow me. You have to follow me with the Spirit. You'll have to be in the Spirit today to follow me. But it's in the words. So we're going to look through the words and then see how mixed up we can get, and then how the revelation will come. When you get mixed up, then you ask God to show you, and then he shows you the revelation. All right. So Moses is talking to God face to face, but he also can't see him because he's in a cloud. All right. And all the people worship. But what kind of worship? There might be more than one kind. Well, what kind of worship would it be if a man were a hypocrite? What kind of worship would that be? That would be with the lip, but not with the heart. That would be with the lip, but not with the heart. What would pure worship be? That would be with the lip and the heart. Then it would be without wax. It would be sincere worship, pure, unmixed. If it had wax to hold it together, then as soon as the heat comes, the wax melts and the thing falls apart. So as soon as a little struggle comes, those that worship God hypocritically fall apart. Little pressure, they just fall apart. Because it's only wax holding them together. So don't put any heat. Don't put any heat. And we've turned off the heat today because we don't want to tell who's a hypocrite. We don't want to find out which one's a hypocrite here, who's genuine. Because if you put heat on the vase that was broken, that's been healed by wax, it looks just the same, and you just paint over it, and it looks good. Looks good because you just put some wax on it, and the wax hardened, and yeah, it looks good. You smooth it down. Beautiful. But you put a little heat on it, oh, all of a sudden, the wax melts and the thing falls apart. And you see that it's weakness. It really wasn't sincere without wax. Sin means without. Ser means wax. So if a vase was patched, sometimes a merchant might have a vase and it's broken. It's a very valuable vase. So he patches it with wax, then paints over it, and you can't tell. You just can't tell. But you take it home, and it gets a little warm one day, it falls apart. So that was not sincere. So if you were a Roman merchant, you had to write on every vase, sincere. This vase is sincere. So a merchant would say something like, this product has passed the test. You know, it's the genuine article. Have you ever seen that on a product to say, genuine? It's genuine. Because there's a lot of fake, hypocritical, not true out there. So you could have two kinds of worship. You could have worship that was from the heart, in spirit and in truth, and you could have worship that was just from the lip, while their heart was far from him. So it said the people saw Moses talking to God in the cloud, and they worshiped. They were amazed. They weren't amazed at Moses. They were amazed at the cloud. The cloud is the glory of God, the manifested glory. But they didn't see God. They saw the cloud. They didn't actually see God. They only saw his power and his glory and his majesty. And anybody would worship God then. You see where I'm going? You may not, but I'm going someplace. So many people today worship God, but you can't tell who the true believer is from the false until the heat comes. And God knows, but we don't know. And many people are fooled with the not genuine article, with the insincere. And they have wax. They're mixing truth and lie. They're mixing just because of the lip says the same thing. That's just appearance. But in truth, you're not worshiping God in truth. In truth, you're just all broken up on the inside. Just nobody can see it. Because it looks like your heart is for God, but actually your heart is divided. Your heart's really for yourself. And as soon as God's presence leaves, and as soon as the glory departs, you go right back to your rebellion. You go right back to your sin. You go right back to what you were doing. But then when he shows up, oh, worship God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And how many know that every day, I mean one day, every knee's going to bow. Every knee's going to bow. And every tongue was going to confess, oh, yeah, Jesus is Lord. So if God showed up with all of his glory and his power and his majesty, everybody would bow. But the minute he leaves and you don't see his glory and his power and his majesty, you only hear his voice, you only have his word, but it's not backed up. It's not backed up. If it's not backed up, no one will worship. So he really doesn't have any true worshipers. If it only comes because you see his power and his miracle and his signs and his wonders and his glory and his power. When the policeman's not looking, you don't see me going the speed limit. But when the policeman is there and I see him parked along the side or I see his little light going on, I slow down. That's a hypocrite. That's not from the heart, you see. So I only did it when I saw the power. Now, maybe he'd say he's a criminal and he's not really a policeman, but he just has a uniform on. I might be fooled by that. And I might bow, you see, because I think it's him. Yeah, he's here, so I'll slow down. Sometimes I see a car that looks white and I think it's like a police car, and I'll slow down because I think maybe that's a police car. It doesn't have a light on the top, but I think, wow, that's an unmarked car. So I'll slow down. That's a hypocrite. God is the same. He knows sometimes people worship him and he's present, but he's present with power. And when he's present with power, you can't tell if they're worshiping because of the power or because if they're truly worshiping because they love him freely. You can't tell. You can't tell. Could be fear, not faith. It could be fear, not faith. Fear of the power. Fear that my father has a stick and he'll beat me if I don't do it. So when the father comes and he's got the stick, I obey. But as soon as the father closes the door and walks away and drives away, I'm immediately back to my rebellion, my selfishness. I'm beating my sister up again. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Now watch. Watch Moses. Moses is like God with power. But does he see his face? No. So you can't tell. You can't tell when someone obeys under the law, whether they're doing it out of fear or out of faith. You can't tell. It looks the same. It looks the same. It appears to be the same, but it could be hypocritical. Now, I wrote three very powerful words on the board: presence, authority, and power. What if God showed up with authority but no power? Who then would believe in him? What if he came and he said, I am the Son of God, I speak in my Father's name, and people began to listen to him? But other people said, he's not from God, and he didn't defend himself. He allowed himself to be abused. What if he allowed himself to be suffered? Is it? He could have called on 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. And so with only authority, he spoke. And the people watched and they said, here's the brute with brute power and force. And here's another who's right, probably, but he has no power. Or he won't use it. Now, which one would reveal the liberty of the people? The brute or the one with authority but restrained power? What if liberty restrains power? But what if power consumes liberty? Which is truth? Today, what is it? Today, what is it when a man, sees the power before him and there's a criminal and he's got a gun, he's got a knife, he's got some weapon, and you see his power and he says, give me your wallet, give me your purse. And he has no authority, and you know he doesn't. He has no right. You know it's wrong. What he's doing is wrong. You know deep in your heart it's wrong. But he says, and don't say a thing or I'll shoot you. And so you don't say a thing. But your heart is one place, but your mouth is in another place. It's hypocrisy. Even though you give the man your wallet or your purse, you didn't want to. He just wanted you outwardly to obey. And you don't know what he's going to do because you're afraid. You have no faith that this man is right, but you're afraid. You're in fear. And you obey him. You do what he says. What if a government were like that, where they operated in power without authority? And they confronted you and said, you will do this, and you will pay that, and you will submit here. And you did it because it was brute force. But you did not give your consent. Your heart was far from that. And you didn't trust. But as long as they were there, as long as they were there, you obeyed. But as soon as they left, you did something else. Do you see the power of this? Now I want to show you something about God. That God does not want people to worship him because of his power. He wants you to worship him based purely on his presence and his word. Whoever comes and speaks, for example, I speak, but no one has to pay attention because I don't have a lot of members. I haven't done anything. I haven't never used any power. I won't do miracles and signs and wonders just to wow people and bring them here and do different things. And there's a lot of things I could do, but I won't do them. I want to manipulate the people. It's not that I'm against power. It's just that I'm not going to use power to draw people. You see, a lot of churches do. They bring in the power team. They bring in the powerful speakers and the powerful musicians and the powerful miracle working, healing, blessing services. And see, I have bigger churches than I do. I just have a dinky little one because I don't have any power. There's very little power. I say things, but people don't pay attention to me. And I just suffer. I'm just abused. Now, there's a few people, and you are those few. There's a few people, of course, that actually believe that what I've said is from God. And so they see the presence of God and the holiness of God, and they hear his voice, and they obey based without any power to back it up, any sign, any wonder, any confirmation. They don't see that. So they would have to be. They would have to be true people because there's nothing to make anyone come. There's no anything. We don't have a steeple on the top. We don't have a thing on the back or a choir or even a baptismal or anything. It's just a building with a few people in it. It's not very powerful. Now, I say that a lot of people know that what I'm saying is truth. They know it's what he said is true, and I don't want to go there anymore. But if I had power to back it up, they would come. If there were power, if we gave out free samples and stuff, I mean, they would flood in. How many know that that's true? All you got to do is dress it up. And I am a master deceiver. I know how to dress it up. I could do it. I won't. I won't do it. Because I don't think that's God. I don't think you should artificially force stuff like that or manipulate your wife, your children, or your church members. So then, how will God get anything done if he won't use his power? Maybe there's two kinds of power. Maybe there's the power of wrath, brute force, and maybe there's the power of manipulation. Or maybe there's the power of the Word, and maybe there's the power of the Spirit. Or maybe there's the power of his presence, and maybe there's lots of kinds of power. What kind of power would God use to bring a man to himself? Now, I'm going to show you Moses, then I'm going to show you Jesus. So let's look at Moses first. 34. Every man was worshiping at his tent door, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Does that mean he actually saw his face? We just were told he's looking at a cloud. He's speaking to him face to face, which means his face is there, but you actually can't see his face. So even though he's face to face with him and they can hear the voice, they actually can't hear it exactly and see it exactly. So Moses is speaking to God face to face like a friend. And yet, he's looking at a cloud, not God's face. He doesn't even see God's face. Did you hear what I said? It says face to face, but it doesn't mean face to face. It means a cloud. The face behind the cloud is a face there because you can hear the voice coming out and you see the cloud and you see all the, yeah, something's there. It's God. But what people are really looking at is the power. They're not really looking at the face. They're not really looking at the authority of the Word. They're actually looking at and impressed with the power. And when they see that cloud, they immediately bow. They immediately worship. But when they don't, they forget right away and go back to idolatry and selfishness and nastiness. Isn't that funny? The people come to the tent door, the cloud's out. Whoa. And they're looking at the cloud, but they don't see God, and they don't even hear his voice. They don't even care, but they see the power. And they're, God, hallelujah. Glory to God. People are like that. They'll follow the church, which shows with the power, the big church and the big screens and the, you know, Starbucks in it, all this stuff. And that's a church. We don't have any of that. Well, our church is pathetic. Even young people won't come because there's no other young people, so that's why they won't come. All I'd have to do then is artificially get some young people and then some other young people to come. So I could fix it, but I won't. Not mean of me. I won't do it. I know what people want. I know how to satisfy that. All we have to have is a youth program, and then I would draw all kinds of people just because of the youth. Anybody knows how to go to church. You appeal to the young people. You get all the young people. You get the parents. It's so simple. That's why Baptist churches always have a bus ministry. They know that the buses go pick up the kids, and the kids will soon bring the parents. And so they know exactly how to do it. How come if I know that, why don't I do that? Because then we could build this church big. It could be amazing and powerful. Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, Pastor Jim, you waste your life with a handful of people. I know I like it. Very peaceful and happy. But you'll be poor and small and ineffective. Maybe. But, you know, these tapes do go out. Well, you don't get any money from them. You don't even charge anything, hardly. Well, I know. I don't want anything. Isn't that funny? I think it's funny. It shows that I have the fear of God because I love him, not because I want to manipulate. I don't want to manipulate. I won't do it. I'd rather lose. I'd rather be destroyed than to do something underhanded, treacherous, tricky. And the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. You know, I would rather have God be pleased with me than I would please the people. You know why? Because every day, every single day, I talk to Jesus face to face. That means a lot to me. I feel if I was fake and phony and he would know it, I don't know that I would get those revelations. I don't think I would. But I have such a sweetness, time of worship, that no one sees. My wife doesn't even see it. No one sees it. It's just between me and Jesus. That is so precious to me. Every day I can get up early, early in the morning before anyone else is up, and I can worship God, spend time with him, get in his word, talk to him, sing. I can do anything back in my room. I'm way back in the garage, which I've converted into a big library. But I can go back in there and hide behind all my books and everything. And Jesus, he likes to come back there. And I just love to be with God. I just love to be in his presence. You see the word presence up there? Everything starts with presence. What follows presence is not power. What follows presence is authority. And what follows authority is power. But what if you want pure worship? Then you draw a line between authority and power. And you restrain the power so that the people have the freedom. Because if you show the power, you can't tell if people came because of the power. Maybe they only came, like Jesus said, because they saw me making the bread. Maybe they only came because they saw the healing. Maybe they only come to this ministry or that ministry because they see the power. And then that's what the ministers want then. Oh, I need the power. If I could get the power, I could have big crowds. And if you have big crowds with thousands of people, you're bound to get a healing or something. And so many ministries build themselves by drumming up and calculating that, hey, people have come here with power. And they, oh, God was there today. We saw the healing, and we saw this, and we saw that. And then people don't want Jesus, but they want the power. They don't want the giver. They want the gift. They haven't come because the word of God goes forth in truth. It's because someone got healed, and someone else got this and got that. You think that doesn't happen? It happens every day in my ministry. Every day those things happen. But I'm not bragging on them or boasting on them or making a big deal out of it. They happen in quiet ways, and we never tell anyone. Nobody does. We could have people get up and give a testimony. And we give testimonies on Sunday morning based on the word. You see? But if somebody get up and say, God just healed me, more people would come. But if somebody got up and said, I saw a sin today, less people would come. Are you hearing me? So what if God, and I'm going to show you in the ministry of Jesus in a minute, what if God postponed the power and took suffering instead and only gave the authority and then took abuse and allowed other people to claim something else and mow him down? And then it looked like he had no power. It looked like he was weak. He would be on a cross and he couldn't get off. It looked like people could reject him and he wouldn't use any power. But what if he had the power, but he just wouldn't use it? That would be called restrained power. Maybe for the sake of liberty, so that the man watching him would be a true worshiper because he was not forced to believe him. He only gave a word with no power following. So if he gave the word with no power, because Jesus said, you know why the crowds are following me today? It's because yesterday I healed someone, and the day before I fed 5,000. That's why they're coming, and that's why they want to make me king. It isn't because of my word that I gave to them, which I put before my power. The power only confirms the word. But what if I postpone the power? If I give the power right away, they'll all come. But what if I postpone it? Now listen to Moses. I want you to see the contrast. And Moses said to the Lord, face to face as a man speaks to his friend, verse 11. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So, house. He wasn't ready to come out yet. Moses went out. The law went out first. Jesus stayed back. You see this? This is beautiful. He stayed in the tent. He did not come out. Now, Moses, where did he go? Let's see. And Moses said to the Lord, see, thou sayest to me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Who are you going to send with me? Joshua's in the tent. Who are you going to send with me? Yet thou hast said, I know you by name. We're friends. I know your name. Moses, God. We know each other's name. You say you know me, and you say you like me. You favor me. You've given me grace. I've found grace in your sight. Didn't you say that? Yes, you did. And God, he says to him, verse 13, now therefore I pray you, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Oh, so Moses now, the giver of the law, who hasn't yet received the law, by the way, but he will be the giver of the law. He'll be known later in history as the one who gave the law. But he didn't give it. He received it and then delivered it. So he really was just a mailman. He got it and then he just delivered it. The Moses then says, show me thy way. Because if your presence goes not with me, number one, presence. If your presence goes not with me, what have we been learning in Luke? All the way through the book of Luke. Presence, authority, power. Presence, authority, power. Starts with presence. If your presence goes not with us, what good is the law? What good is the law if you're not present to give the correct interpretation or use of that law? So the presence is always more important than the law. The presence is more important than the law. The one who gave the law is God, not Moses. So, God, if you don't go along with the law, if we have a law now, but there's no presence with the law, then the law can be abused. And it can be abused by someone with power who will just with brute force apply that law in a way that doesn't bless the people. And you'll get a form of false worship. This is very powerful. This is very powerful. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's powerful to me. It's powerful to me. It's very powerful that presence precedes authority. And authority is followed always by power, but not necessarily right away. With Moses, it has to be or they won't obey. And when they obey, they're hypocrites because their heart is far from him. And they're not really obeying the presence. They're not worshiping God in his presence. They're really not obeying because of the word, the authority. They're only obeying and praising and worshiping and falling down and bending the knee and looking humble because of the power. The presence has brought the power. What if presence has power? The father comes in with a stick. Then the kids are, yes, right away. And people are worshiping. Hallelujah. Because it's the power that they fear. They don't really love the one who brought that stick. It's just that they fear that stick. And when you see the lightning and the thunder and the mountain quakes, God, you are right away like, this is powerful. And the people are worshiping, God. But as soon as the quaking stops and the cloud removes and the lightning ceases, people go right back getting naked, doing what they wish. Let's go right back. And they'll be worshiping a golden calf in a few minutes. What kind of hypocrisy is that? That with the lip they worship God, but as soon as he leaves, the presence is gone, the authority doesn't hold. Now it's only the power, and the power's gone. Now the worship dries up. It's not pure worship. They worship the golden calf. They worship themselves. They worship one another. They turn away. And so now they become slaves again. Might as well be back in Egypt. They're worshiping the golden calf just like Egypt. You see, that is a different way that when the policeman shows up, if he doesn't have the power, his voice will be without authority. It's not the authority they respect. It's the power. They know he's got a gun. I better do what he says. I mean, I do. I shake and quiver as I can see the guy coming up. It's, it's another $200 gone or something. You know, but you know, I only respect him and roll my window down kindly and so on and don't bribe him or something. You know, because I only do that because of the power. You see? But I'm a hypocrite because I really am not in a good mood at all. I'm mad that he pulled me over. And I don't like that man at all. And but I'm afraid of the power. So you can't tell if I'm kind. I just fake it. Oh, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm very obsequious. I'm very self-effacing. Oh, sir, I didn't realize. I was going 85. Oh, my gosh. This was a school zone. Oh, no, I'm not that bad, but still. I was just staying up with that guy ahead of me. He actually passed me a few minutes ago. I thought your light was for him. When I saw those lights, the reason I didn't pull over because I thought you were going after him. He was. That's the truth. So God doesn't want his presence to come with power so that someone will bow down and they don't really mean it. He wants the freedom to be there that a man can do what's in his heart for good or for evil. Not a hypocrite that's lukewarm. When you're there, it's there. When he goes, it's gone. He said, you know, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their mouth as soon as I'm around, but the minute I go away, Ichabod, the glory of God has departed. As soon as the glory goes, then they no longer honor me. Especially if they see my son hanging on a cross, they spit in his face. They dishonor him. Why? Because they don't see any power. What if he suddenly pulled power on them? Whoa, whoa, we didn't mean it. They would repent right away. But that's hypocrisy, and Jesus doesn't want hypocrisy. He would rather die than bring out his power. He's looking for those that truly believed his word. That they saw the presence of God, and then the word that said, because the word he said was not a law word, it was a grace word. The word he said was, the Father loves you. And I wanted to believe him, but the power people came right away and said, he's nothing. And then they killed him. Ooh, then I lost all hope. I was believing in Jesus. I thought maybe those things that Jesus said, but when he did the miracles, that was so powerful. And I was really encouraged right then. But then when the bad guys took him, oh, I lost all my... I don't know. Now I'm scared to follow him. And all of the 10 fled. And Peter denied him. And the other man betrayed him. They just didn't see his power all of a sudden. I wish Jesus had used a little power. At least Peter took out his sword and chopped the guy's ear off. But then Jesus told him, put it away. Put it away? No, no, no. Unsheath that sword. Get it out. They're trying to take us here. Let's defend ourselves. Let's do it. Jesus said, no, restrain your power. Don't use it yet. Yeah, but when? They're about to kill you. You're going to be killed. So it's all right. I want that. No, no. You're the only hope we got. Stay, please. You're a nice guy. We've never had a nice guy before. You're one of the nicest guys we've ever known. No. So Jesus lets himself be killed. And then you can doubt. Then your heart will come out. Do you believe his word or are you going to believe the power? You see, when he comes back again, he'll come with power. Oh, this next time, when he comes back, he'll have an army with him. And he'll have power, and there'll be a sword coming out of his mouth. He'll come in, he'll put that sickle in. And the wrath of God will be seen in the lamb, suddenly become a lion. And you'll see the lion of Judah. But when I saw him as a lamb, I wasn't scared. But then, and I kind of believed in him when I saw him at first. But then I got scared when I saw the bad people killing the lamb. Oh man, the bad people are killing the lamb. Brute force, power has killed the lamb. I thought might made right when I saw what they did with their power. But which is better, right over might or might over right? See, the history of mankind is one brute after another brute after another brute. The first brute is a Catholic brute. Mary, you know, Bloody Mary, she was Catholic, so she used all her power to wow her citizens, and anybody that was a Protestant, she killed them. That's power. And people said right away, I'm not a Protestant, I'm a Catholic. I tell you, I'm a Catholic. Hail Mary, full of grace. And they were quickly Catholics because they see all the Protestants being burned at the stake. And she burned hundreds and hundreds of Protestants. Isn't that something? She burned them. She destroyed them. Scared thousands more. Don't think there was only a few hundred. I think 183 or something was the number, but whatever the number was. Those are the ones she literally killed, but there was a whole bunch of others that just became hypocrites and hid away. And they operated in the dark because her presence with her power scared you. So you couldn't tell who was the true Anglican and who was the true Catholic and who was the true Protestant. You couldn't tell because everybody was a hypocrite suddenly. God doesn't want that. So he wants liberty where a man is able to say from his heart, you know what? Even though I don't see any power, I still believe. I don't see any fruit in the vine, but I believe. I don't see any grain in the bin, but I believe. I don't see the signs and wonders, but I believe. Because without faith, you cannot please God. Do we have to have all the power today? Because most ministries today are built on power. If they're worth their salt, they have to have some power. It might be the Catholic Church, which has no miracles and signs, but they have ancient power. And people are wowed by all the robes and the buildings and the awe and the fact that it's ancient and big and massive. Well, that's power too. It isn't just the teaching. It's they even say that, you know, well, this is the oldest church. And of course, the Orthodox say they're even older. So you never can tell. Everybody's claiming. But the one with the power, and so a lot of the Pentecostals today use the power. Hey, there, we can get some people. And the others, you know, we quote the Bible. Say, quote the Bible, quote the Bible, quote the Bible. And people legalistically, Bible. But is their heart actually worshiping the true God? Do we have pure worship? The presence of God, the authority of God, declared word, and the power of God. What kind of power? Brute power? Miraculous power? What about the power of the Holy Spirit that works on the inside of me? Is that also a power? What about the power to transform me from the inside, not simply because I saw a miracle on the outside? Which power is power? What is the power of His presence? What kind of power does He bring? Does truth precede power? When He declares the truth, that it's not by works, but by faith, which is the power then? What will the power of God get behind? The work or the faith? Which? You see, in Moses' case, there was lightning and thunder and quaking. I see the lightning, I hear the thunder, and I feel the quaking. Now all my senses are power. Oh, holy, holy, holy God. I'm right away a worshiper. Because I can see the mountain is shaking. I feel it. The ground is shaking. Oh, when people saw that tsunami, whoa, you know, it's like, whoa. You know, that is so impressive that everybody is quivering. When you saw the buildings blow up in 9/11, it's, whoa, this power. You see it. You realize, whoa, the civilization's falling apart. And people, God, you know, right away we get right to God. How many know that there are no atheists in foxholes? When you see the power, whether it's of man or of God or the devil, I'm telling you, it's impressive. When you see the tall buildings downtown, you know who's in charge. It's not me. You see our dinky little building, and you see Broadway down here. It's got a big steeple on it. Then you see Bass's tower. It's even bigger than Broadway's. And if you want to go the broad way, you can go the broad way. We're the narrow way. The narrow way is small. The broad way is liberal. It's broad. A lot of people can get in. Homosexuals can not only get in, but they can be promoted. See, it's a different spirit. We're narrow. We think that only the Bible and only the narrow truth about Jesus and so on and so forth. We don't believe in all that other stuff. So we're very narrow, very exclusive. We're not inclusive at all. Why, they're inviting everyone to come in. And then you can go to the homosexual church next door here, and they're even broader than Broadway. They not only welcome homosexuals, they have a whole church full of them. They're not just accepting a few, kind of like tolerating them and letting them in, but they actually, the whole church is built on it. I mean, that's really letting them in. And so it's really hard today to see where is God backing up his people. He ought to, if I were God, I'd kind of indicate where I was voting. It's hard to tell where his vote is. So what he's doing is testing our hearts to see, are you going to follow it just because it looks good and powerful? Or will you follow it because you heard the truth and the truth set you free? You see, truth waits for freedom. Truth doesn't want the lip. It wants the heart. See, truth goes straight to the heart. What God wants is a true follower, someone who's truly in love with him. My wife wants a true husband, you know, not a fake one, not one that'll say, I love you, and not mean it. She wants me to mean it. She'll even check me on that. Now, do you mean that? What you said the other day, did you mean that? And she'll check me. She's testing me because you just yelled at me, and that didn't seem like what you said the other day. And she'll check me out. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but she tests me like that. I give her my word. What good is a word? I want proof. She wants proof. She wants to see. So what is it that God is doing? So when Moses went up, listen to this. This is so good. If I've found favor, verse 13, show me now thy way. Remember what Jesus said? I am the way. So is he going to show him Jesus? That's a good question. It's a good question. That I may know thee. Remember Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee. And not only the Father, but the Son. Jesus said, you know, and this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son. That's the way to know God, through Jesus Christ, his Son? How do you know God? Does Moses know Jesus Christ? Jesus said, he wrote of me. He wrote of me. He said, he wrote of me. So did he write of him? Did he write of him? Yes, everything he wrote was about Jesus. So Moses actually wrote of Jesus. He said, if you'd believe Moses, you would have believed me. I mean, because he said, another prophet God will raise up. Listen to him. He wrote of him. And he said, my presence, this is what God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Presence, there it is. Number one, my presence will go with thee, and I will give you rest. So presence brings rest. When you see the presence of God, what if it's the presence with a law tied to it? What if it's presence with power, thunder and lightning? Well, that won't give me rest. That'll give me shaking. That'll give me scared. You see? So what that, whoa, how's your presence giving me rest? Remember Jesus said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. What kind of rest? Give me some rest. But Jesus didn't do the power. Where's the power? If you do a little power thing, do it, you know that what you did the other day? Do one of those. Because people could see that, they would follow you maybe. Remember in the last half of his ministry, he didn't do miracles? Remember the first half? Walked on water, you know, healed the blind, calmed the storms. Then in the last half, after he went up to the north and then started to come back, and he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem, he said, now they're going to kill me. What? No, Lord. No, you're the Son of God. Your presence here, your words, it's powerful. That's why we believe. You can't die. What if he restrains his power, allowing people then to believe in his presence with his word. Because without faith, you can't please God. You have to have just faith. You see, a new believer, when a new believer prays, God, I know you could do it, but will you do it for me right now? I've lost my ring. Could you find it? And right away, the new believer finds his ring. You know? It happens. A new believer, just brand new, first day on the job, and they're already getting miracles. And they're trying it out. Hey, boy, that worked with the ring. I'm going to try that with a raise. I need a raise. And so you can tell the immature Christians are new believers, even though they've been Christians for years perhaps, they're still looking for the glory. They're still looking for the power like that. Is, man, I just said, Jesus, give me that, and I just told the devil to get out. And boy, they're excited about that. Not that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but that the demons are subject to them, and that there's power, and there's wonder, and so on. That is a Christian, but it's an immature Christian. But the older you get and the more mature you get, you have less power. Or the power changes, and it's the power to transform you, not your circumstances. Do you see that? There comes a time when you ask God, God, take away this thorn. Remove this problem and trouble. And he doesn't. You know why? Because God is saying, I think you're old enough now to go by my word. Just trust me. My grace is sufficient. Yeah, but God, right now, couldn't you just fix this thing with my daughter? Couldn't you just fix this thing with this over here? Couldn't you? Remember you used to do it, remember, in the old days? Have I lost my faith or something? I used to just command things and it happened. I believe for anything. And I remember those days? Could you go back to that, huh? I'm in the wrong place. I think I'm going through a dry spell here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So people will go, they'll run back to those old meetings and try to get those old things, crank them up again and get some power. Go to, you know, so-and-so's meeting. I won't tell you who all the people are, but, you know, go to so-and-so's meeting. No, no, no. What God is saying is you're mature enough now to go just by my word. I have not raised you to only operate by power and miracle and sign, because I can't tell then if you're really a follower. I'm going to trust you that you're my son, and you know that I love you. And therefore, when I don't answer you the way you want, need, you still trust me. That's how you can tell who the true believer is. Because when they go through the trouble and the difficulty and the problem, and they still praise him, they get in a car accident and they say, praise the Lord. Oh, that's maturity. But not many people see that as maturity. They would say, well, he should have kept you from the accident. Or he should have done this. Or, you know, why did you have to go to the hospital this time? Or whatever. They think, now you've lost your faith. You've lost your faith. Nuh-uh. No. God is now trusting you at a higher level to say, though this is my son, and though he's suffering right now, and though I could heal him, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup. I could. But I'm going to use this. And I know my son will suffer. And be rejected and be spit upon, but he's going to trust me. That's a higher form of power. It's not less power. It's just that the power of wrath has been postponed. The power of glorious display has been postponed until a later point. But now it's the power of transforming you into a son that learns obedience through what he suffers. The father that loves his son chastens him. But he doesn't chasten him at one. Doesn't chasten him at two. He chastens him as he matures. Do you see that? So actually the Lord is paying you a compliment by not answering all your prayers. Because your prayers are for power, and his prayer is that you know that I love you. His prayer is that I know you. I want you to see your sin. His prayer is that I'll guide you only after you get the sin out of your life. And my prayer was, give me the guidance now. Did you hear what I just said? What people are praying for generally is power, that is favor, or wisdom. Give me guidance. God, what should I do today? Should I go this way or that way? And when you were young, you got that right off. And now that you're a little older, he's after the sin. Everybody wants to have the power and the favor. God, favor me today and let all my enemies fall down. Amen. Praise God. Give me favor wherever I go. Just have people recognize the power of God with me and so on and so forth. Well, you know what? It dries up. And Ken Copeland's mother isn't even healed. Oh, that's sad. Because he has all the power. You see, there is somebody that believed in healing, but when it came down to it, he couldn't even do it in his own family. Now, that's not to put him down. It's just to say God's maturing him. It's not as simple as you put it. When Bill Gothard lost his entire staff, including his own brother, 20, 30 men, I don't remember how many were on his little council or staff, because they had all fallen into sin. Not just small sin, egregious sin. And he had to let them all go and take a year off. The public wasn't told. You weren't told that one was a pedophile, another was a homosexual, another was this, and another was that. Those were all his best people. And he had to fire them all. You weren't told that. You weren't told when Ken gets sick. You weren't told when so-and-so does this. You weren't told when they were broke. You weren't told that. That's because that's an immature message. It's not for mature disciples. So no wonder people resent the message, because there's no power behind it. All I have to do is drum up some power, and you can manufacture it. You can create it. You can bring in power people. And the gold dust will float down, and people, oh, Pastor Jim, when you were preaching, aura behind your head, and you could smell, and so on and so forth. I'll tell you, those things are powerful. And people like, whoa, you should come. Pastor Jim spoke the other day, and a light came behind his head, and four of us saw it. I'm telling you, people would come. They would flock to it. They aren't coming because of the word. It's not a different word. They're coming because of the power, the glory, the majesty. But I'm going to tell you something. That is for later. It's only now for immature Christians to get you going and to wow the world so they come in. But there's a time when the body of Christ needs to be a little more mature, because when the unbelievers come in, they actually take over and the believers become unbelievers. The problem in the church today is we're not responding to his presence, and we're not responding to his word. We're waiting for the power to confirm it. You'll be immature forever. The only way you can grow up is to realize that though your father isn't doing everything for you and paving the way, it's your turn now. You get out. You stumble. You begin to operate and work. But let's see that holy presence change you in a holy way, that you're actually not just seeking power and glory and wonder and guidance and so on, but you're actually getting all the sin out of your life. Nobody wants that. That is not exciting at all. First of all, nobody can even see it. They can see the fruit of it, but they can't actually see it. But that's the most powerful of all, is to see that. But what's something even more powerful is that someone would believe God just by his presence, that he loves me unconditionally, even without understanding fully his word. I just know one thing. I just trust him. It isn't power. It isn't might that's right. What I'm trusting is that God is with me. And that's what Moses was told by God. Here's the thing that makes you a unique people. My presence will go with you. What? Oh, that's it? Could you do the lightning thing again? And could you have some of that? That was very impressive. I mean, the people were really obedient right there. For a little while, that whole family was, you know, you get a crisis in your family, I'm telling you, everybody's paying attention. All of a sudden, mother's dying. What? Oh, and everybody's unified all of a sudden. And it looks like, you know, that's the kind of thing that'll keep us all in unity. You let a crisis like that happen in the body of Christ today, oh man, we'll all be one. We'll all be joined together, you know, because that's all it takes. Well, what about maturing? How can you tell what's really in the heart? So God is testing us by his Spirit, by his word, without the power. In other words, the Holy Spirit power is not necessarily to heal. It's not necessarily to have these outward manifestations. That's for the world, really. In the church, it really should be the Holy, not so much the Spirit. It should be the Holy Spirit to transform you into the likeness of Christ. You know why? That's what he's really after. He's not really after you being able to do a miracle. He's really after you being a son of the living God, worshiping with all your heart, just in love with him. And then to remove some sin so that you can go on. And then you'll get the guidance, and then you'll have the power, but it'll be genuine. And the people that see it will know, wow, what you just said, that was God. A man called yesterday and started confessing his sins. And he was telling me, he was saying, you know, I'm not calling you to give a praise report. I'm calling you to give something very powerful I have seen my sin. I've been a Christian 35 years, and I realize now I have deep sins in me. Now, I've never seen them until now. I see them. And I told God, I want to get closer to you, and he's not giving me any favor in my business. He's a very wealthy man. He's not giving me any guidance. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. But what he's showing me is my sin. Pastor, what's wrong? After 35 years, I'm just seeing now the depth of my sin. And he began crying as he spoke. He began weeping as he spoke. I'm seeing it. And I won't name the sins, but he had three different sins. And he said, I can't believe it. And then what God is showing me is those are the same sins my father had, and I despised him for those three sins. And now I find they're in me, and I judged him my whole life. And he said, it kept us from being intimate until you spoke to me a number of years ago and said, go and confess your sins to your father and get right with your father and love him unconditionally. Your presence with authority. And see what happens. And now they're restored. And now he's saying, well, like I have with my father, why can't I be intimate with you, Heavenly Father? And the heaven, this is your problem. No, I was asking you, how can I be close to you? You're showing me a sin that'll push me away. No, he's not showing you the sin so you'll solve it. He's showing you the sin that's making a break between us. It isn't power that you need. It isn't more money that you need. He has a very big business. It isn't more money that you need. What you need is get rid of this sin that was not only keeping you from your earthly father, but keeping you from the heavenly father. Is it that he doesn't know he loves him? Of course not. He knows he's a Christian and that he's loved. It's that there is not going to be any power out here in any favor and any wisdom and any guidance until you deal with these. And so the people around you, like your own children, are still seeing your sins. They're seeing those three sins, the fruit of them. And there's nothing you can do about it. Just turn it to Jesus and don't do anything about it. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. Praise God. And he hung up the phone in a few minutes and was set free. He was completely set free. He saw, you're encouraged. I knew I was supposed to call you. It's powerful. He said, this is intimacy. This is God showing me something that was so deep in me, I didn't even see it. But now that I see it, I can't do anything, which is perfect. Don't do anything. Just turn it over to Jesus. Let him do it. This is what God is after, to transform us so that we can even be more close to his power, more close to everything. You can have all of that anytime. Jesus could have had 12 legions of angels anytime he wanted. All he had to say is, Father, I need the 12 legions right now. I need this storm to, you know, Jesus could have all that power anytime he wanted. But he postponed it for your liberty so that you could come, not with your lips, but with your heart. Because you'd have to believe in him without any evidence, without any proof. How could you believe in him? Just by his word? That's what he wants, to follow him just by a word. Oh, in the beginning, you have to have signs and wonders, and he did. But as he matured his disciples, he was teaching them how to go just by my word. Because when a disciple's fully taught, just like my children, I don't have to yell at them. I just simply say the word, and they obey. I just say, Dave, could you come down? I don't have to explain why. Could you come down? I need some help. Boom, he's right there. Why? Because by a word, that's where love is best seen. Come on down, I'm going to give you $1 million. Well, he'd probably come down. Or come on down, I'll show you some fancy thing or something. No, just come. No explanation. That's authority. That's authority based on love. I saw his loving presence, which is a different kind of holiness than wrathful holiness. I saw his merciful authority. I trust him. Jesus is not saying to you, obey me. He's saying to you, trust me. He's not saying obey. He's not saying obey. He's not saying obey. He's not saying stop sinning. You know what he's saying? Trust me. Trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Come on. There's fire there. Yeah, trust me. Come on through it. Just come through it. Okay, there's a fire. There's trouble. There's problems. It's okay. Just trust me. Well, could you do a miracle and remove that? No, just trust me. Just come right through it. I can't get through it. I can't make it. I just don't have the power. I don't have the authority. I can't. No. Just do it. Here, come on, reach your hand out. And then I'll burn it. I'll get burned. It'll just burn your flesh. It won't burn your spirit. I can't, I can't. I'm not going to do it. No, I won't do it. Just trust me. And he is not going to do a sign and a wonder and turn the heat off. Do you see what I'm saying? Make a better America. Then we'll be happy then. No, he's not going to do it. We'll take away Al-Qaeda then. No, he's not going to do it. We'll do something. He's already done everything. I mean, no, you don't need to see the power. I'm not going to introduce any new power. I mean, it may come, but I'm not going to make it happen. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to manipulate it just to get people to come and fill up the pews so everybody's going to be happy. So maybe we'll go down the drain. Then go down the drain. You got the wrong minister because I don't care about going down the drain. I don't have to see anything to believe. I'm a lover. I'm a lover. I'm so happy that if everything went bad, I'd be happy. You can take away everything in my life, I'll still be happy. Because he's training us and teaching us not to be like Moses. Now watch how Moses is. And he said to him, "If thy presence go not with me, then don't carry me up from here." Well, that's good. He has it down. Get the presence first. "For there, wherein shall it be known here and I, that I and the people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us?" So that's how we'll be separated. That's the only way the world knows that you're a Christian, is if you live a separated life. Separated what? Unto his presence. Following his word. Not because of the miracles and the signs. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this thing also that you have just spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Oh, praise God. But watch, now watch, this is Moses, not Jesus. And he said, "Lord, show me your glory." Okay, Lord, all right, show me your glory. Now see, Moses, being a lawman, has to back up the law with the power or no one will obey. Because it's an obedience religion. It's a performance religion. The policeman doesn't care what I'm really thinking. All he wants me to do is sign my name or take the thing or whatever. He just wants me to obey outwardly. I could be a hypocrite and I don't even like the guy. He doesn't really care. And if I try to drive away and run away, he'll shoot. You know, he doesn't really care. It's not personal to him. It is, the law comes to make me afraid. He wants me to be afraid. I could say to him, "Sir, I don't know if you realize it. You made me kind of a little bit afraid there." He doesn't care. He's not a psychological, social change agent. He doesn't care. Just, pay this bill. Take it to the judge. "Yeah, but I don't understand." Just take it to the judge. "You don't seem to have any care for me." He doesn't care. Because with the law, there's only power that follows, and that's all. He won't give me a chance to even explain it. No mercy in him at all. Isn't that interesting? Now, we're not talking about the fact that he might yet let some young girl in a red convertible go. We're not talking about that. There are always inconsistencies in application of law. We're talking about the fact that true law just backs it up with power, period. No mercy, no power to help you. They're not going to help you like, "Here's how you win the case. I'm the judge. Here's how you win." They don't help you. You have to get your own lawyer, get your own defense. You want to use one of theirs? He may not help. He may just be a wage earner, not care at all about your case. He has 40 others that day anyway. He doesn't even care about yours. "Here's my case." Yeah, okay, all right, okay. And he didn't even read it. He doesn't even know what my thing is. He doesn't even care. He's got other cases to look at. He's just going to be paid, that's all. So you're looking for justice, you won't find it. Even though it was set up for justice, there isn't any. But you have money, you'll get justice. Did you know? You just pay for it. Might is right. Oh, then might is right. Yeah, that's right. Because sooner or later, the most wonderful, principles and so on turn into cold, hard institutions. Well, they started out to help the poor, but in the end, the poor didn't get helped, and nobody even cares. Even the people that are helping the poor don't even help the poor. They don't even care that that person is not getting real help. Well, you're supposed to be helping me. Well, yeah, I know, but I got other people to talk to. What? I thought this institution was set up by the government to help me. I didn't get my food stamps this week. I'm sorry, sister, just call this number. It's all I can do. And they don't even care. Nobody cares. I thought this institution was to care for the poor. How many of the poor you have always? They're never going to be helped. Never. There's only one way. There's only one way. Show me thy way. There's only one way. Get to know Jesus and go to work. There is no other way. There is no other way. And he said, show me thy glory, verse 18. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, all. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy upon whom I'll show mercy. What's that? He's going to show him all of his glory, and he's going to show mercy upon whom he'll show mercy? What? It doesn't make sense. So I drew the little drawing up on the board to show you that rock and put Moses in it. Can you see that far? Put a little Moses in there and a little cross on the top. But this is a law message. But God starts talking about the gospel right in the middle of the law man. What's he doing? He's mixing his metaphors. He's getting all goofed up. But listen carefully here, because there's a revelation here for you. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Praise God for that. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. What does that have to do with the law? Powerful. And he said, thou cannot see my face. What? What are you saying? How are those? That's non sequitur. You just said, I'll show mercy to him, I'll show mercy. You just said, I found grace in your sight, and then you said, you won't show me your face. What? You were going to show me all your glory, all your goodness, and then you won't show me your face? But my face you cannot see. What? Why not? For no man should see me and live. Ah, the law is for man. Mere man. The gospel is for new men, not mere men. You see that? The gospel's not for everybody. The law is for everybody. Everybody's under the law. But only some people will see what Moses was just shown here, but backwardly. Because the law is always put in the negative. The law is never positive. The law is not make a cake for your neighbor. It's don't poison your neighbor. You see, it's always negative. Don't harm your neighbor. It's not go over and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not the law. That's the gospel. That's something else. I can't. That's the spirit of the law, is love your neighbor. But God knows that we're wicked, so he just says, don't kill her. You see? The law really can't make me love my neighbor. It can tell me that's what it was intending to do. But that's not actually the letter of the law, which killeth, which says, if you kill her, I'll kill you. Oh, all right. There it is. You do bad, and I'll do bad. You take out a pistol, I'll take out a rifle. You take out a rifle, I'll take out a cannon. The law is going to just meet force with force. And it's going to force me not to do what's right, but not to do what's wrong. So, what is the law? Why does he say, I'll show grace and mercy and mix it all up and then say, you're not going to see my face? Well, man, what are you saying? What are you talking about? Moses must be all confused there. I thought we were face-to-face buddies. No, you're a lawman. There's a cloud around me. You see, in the law, you don't see God clearly. It's indirect. There's a cloud around him. He is Deus absconditus. He is hidden. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Oh my gosh. So he's got a place by him. He's talking to Moses through a cloud. Moses has entered into this cloud, and they're talking together in the cloud. It's like this morning if you woke up early. It was a cloud over everything. You couldn't see. Now he's talking to him, and he knows he's right there, but he can't actually see him. He's trying to make you out. I can't see your, is that, am I looking at your knee or your, maybe your forehead or what? How tall am I, and how tall are you? He can't see. He just knows there's this big cloud up there on the top. And there's fire up there too. And all the people down below are seeing the fire and they're shaking. Oh my gosh, I'm glad. I'll bet Moses is being burned up. I bet he's not even here anymore. I'll bet the law just devoured him. I'll bet God's holiness consumed him. And he said, "Behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." Wow. Wow. A place. A place. So he has a little place, a kind of a niche inside of a rock, and he can get in there, and he said, "Hide in here. Get yourself in here." So he squeezes back into this little cleft in a rock, a little cleavage. He's inside the little cleavage, and he's got him in there, and now God's going to pass by, and he's going to get to see him. So Moses has got his eyeballs open because he's the law man. He's got the law. This is what the law is going to see. He's going to see God. The law is going to see God. But wait a minute. Listen what happens. "And it shall come to pass that when my glory, which you asked for, passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand when I pass by." What? Wait a minute. You're going to put me in the cleft and then you're going to put your hand and then you're going to pass by. I won't even get to see you. That's not right. Wait a minute. I wanted to see your glory. Yes, you will, but I have to cover your eyes. I thought that's unfair. God, you're not fair. I said, and you promised you'd show me your glory. Listen to this. "And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts. But my face, you shall not see, because it would kill you. If I showed you my glory, you wouldn't be alive." You want to see justice? You won't be alive. You better see it the way I want to show it to you, indirectly like this, a little bit clouded. There's another face I want you to see. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before them? All of a sudden there was three people. There was Jesus, plus his three disciples who were watching, plus Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. And all of a sudden Moses saw the Lord face to face. He now saw his face. But his face was like the bright shining sun, and so he still couldn't see him. It's like, whoa. But he now looking into the face of Jesus, and he sees the glory of God transfigured on the earth, on a mountain. What he couldn't see when the hand was over him. But now the brightness is so great that even the law still cannot see him, but he gets in by grace. Remember what he said? "I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy, and grace to whom I'll show grace." Now he understands the first time. I'm seeing the face of God in the face of Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't say, "Show us the Father." I'm exactly like the Father. Whatever you see in me, my presence is his presence. My authority is his authority. And my power is his power. But while Jesus is on the earth, he does not use that power that he obviously has. What if he kept that shining face wherever he went? And he'd go right up to the Pharisees, woo, and show them, take the little veil off, ah, you know, whoa, they would be like, whoa. And so they would immediately worship and follow him. Hypocrites. Power makes us hypocrites. There's no liberty there because you don't know what my heart's really thinking. It's just when I see the power, praise God. I'll worship God. I'll worship my heavenly Father. I'll worship my earthly Father. I'll worship anybody that'll do a magic, miracle, powerful thing. But what if the power of God is not that outward power that wows us and makes us hypocrites before him, so every knee bows and every tongue confesses? What if the power is to transform you by the word without the power? And what if Jesus takes the cross and suffers instead of using his power? He could have used his power. And any time he could have said, "Father, you know, I'm not going to that cross. I don't want this cup to, I'm not drinking this cup to the dregs. I'm not going to take this cup. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." Okay, go to the cross. Oh, what about my power? I need power right now, Father. Father, power. That sounds like the Christians. Power, forget the sin in my life and forget the relationship and so on. Power. I need power. If you will just give me power, I'll praise your name. No, you will believe on me from the heart or you will not. And I'll know that because I'm not going to give you the power. So I don't want a hypocrite. Power. I don't want a hypocrite following. I want you to worship me in spirit and truth, truly. So when they saw him on the cross, they spit on him and said, "That's no Jesus. There's no confirmation power. He says he's Jesus. I don't believe that. Look at him. Hey, if you're the Son of God, come down here. We'll all follow you." He wouldn't come down. Ha! You see that, everybody? No power. That's not Jesus. God has abandoned him. He's turned his back on him. Which is true. God actually turned his back. Remember, his backside is the law? He showed him his back. He was under the law. Jesus was back. He didn't see his face, because if the face of God had been there, it couldn't have happened. If God was watching his son and them killing him, he'd have just destroyed him. There's no way he wouldn't have allowed it. But he postponed, he restrained his power. Liberty restrains power. Ours was the first government in the world that said, let liberty be the focus point before the power is unsheathed. Don't let the law do its powerful thing. Wait a minute. Let's have liberty. Let the people be free to worship God. Let's not have power stop them. So liberty actually makes power restrained and wait and be meek. Did you know the meek shall inherit the earth? That means I have all the power, but I restrain it. I hold it. You see, when my children do wrong, I could go and beat them. I have the right under the law to beat them. But because I love them, I want to forgive them and I want to help them. I don't want to destroy them. I could chasten them, but only for their good. It would be, even when I chasten them, it's merciful. You see, when God said to him, "I'll show you my mercy," he did. Because the purpose of the law is not to destroy. The purpose of the law is to destroy Jesus, but only what? The Son of Man, not the Son of God. He actually lives, and he's resurrected. Because his purpose was not to destroy, but to give life. "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So today, when power is shown to you, everybody bows the knee. Everybody respects power, even in prison. When I go into the prison, and everybody's a criminal in there, yet there'll be one chief guy who's more powerful than all the rest, and they all have to bow to him. So these tough prisoners aren't so tough, because there's a little cadre of people that run the whole show. Among the blacks, they'll have one. Among the Hispanics, they'll have one. Among the whites, they'll have one. And there might be one group that's more dominant than the other groups, and so on. They have their own little pyramid structure, and there's power in there. And a person like me who's weak, I'd have trouble. Monty, don't you and I ever go to prison? We would know zip. We wouldn't know anything. we wouldn't know which group to join. We try to smart our way through a little wit and wisdom, but it wouldn't work. Because they'd make us bow. They would force us. You see what I'm saying? So that's a place I don't want to go. I want to be a little bit careful. Because I don't want to go there. You see, hypocrite. Because you can't tell where my heart is. Liberty is for the heart. Liberty is for the heart. You see, the law doesn't care about liberty. The law cares nothing about liberty. The law doesn't care about liberty. The law doesn't care if you're a hypocrite or not. Just pay the bill. Just do what I said. Just don't injure your neighbor. It doesn't care if I'm a hypocrite. It doesn't care if I wanted to kill my neighbor, but I didn't do it. The law will say, that's fine. Just don't. That's all the law wants. Outward behavior. Just behavioral modification. The law's not asking for my heart. But you see, when it's God's law, then he postpones that power. Because Jesus didn't come to preach the law. He came to preach the gospel, which was the fulfillment of the law. And therefore, the power wasn't there so that Jesus could suffer, so that you would believe him just by the word and not by any power that he showed. So when the hypocrites saw that Jesus healed the sick, they came. When they saw that he calmed the storm, they came. When they saw that the fish were in the net, they bowed down to worship. Hypocrisy. He couldn't tell their heart from that. But when they hung him on the cross, and when they saw him, then you knew what their heart was really thinking. Because some said, truly, this was the Son of God. Boy, I'd hoped in him, but might is right, and might just conquered him. He was right, but they had might, that I'm a Roman. But I'll tell you one thing, his right is greater than my might. That was a true believer. That centurion went and spoke to Tiberius, the emperor. He told him, I was there. I was the one in charge of this man's death. I'm telling you, there was something great there. And Tiberius then went to the to the Roman Senate and said, I want this Jesus to be one of the gods. I want him to be right in the line up there. In fact, I'd put him at the top of the list. This centurion spoke to me some things, and Pilate gave me a report on him. There's something powerful here. Let's put him up on top. This was a righteous man. We should not have killed him. And Pilate went out and killed himself, committed suicide, because he had disobeyed the emperor's justice, and he had not produced the peace of Rome. Powerful. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, a lot of us are hypocrites today, so our worship is based on fear. That's not pure. It's mixed. You can't tell the lip from the heart. The lip from the heart. You worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. As soon as I leave your presence and there's no more power, you'll go back to your sin. You'll go back to worshiping idols. You'll worship the golden calf. You'll play and dance and sing and get naked. No, the minute I'm with you, you bow. But the minute I leave you, you go back and bow to other gods, to Baal. You follow your own. You worship man. You fear men with their power, their brute power. So Jesus comes and declares, not with power, he just declares it. And in the beginning, he does it with power. Every time he declares it, a miracle happens. And so people immediately follow him, and they're tracking all over. Boy, if I would do that in this ministry, this church would be packed. If I would do that, if I would declare something, immediately it happened. You notice how I say, okay, now, who wants to testify to the power of God? People, well, I had a little something. And so on. They're reluctant. Why? Because nothing's happening. Isn't that funny? And yet the truth went forth. You say, well, maybe it didn't, Pastor. Maybe you're a phony, fake pastor. Well, maybe. But maybe it went forth and the Lord is restraining his power because he's after transforming hearts and not just wowing people with hypocritical words. You hear what I'm saying? It doesn't mean things don't happen. Like one brother came up to me after church Sunday and he said, I had a great testimony, but I was just afraid to share it. I just didn't share it. I said, you should have shared. You should give God the glory. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be a people pleaser. Just get up, share. Because it might have convicted someone else. So don't be afraid of man. So he has a people pleasing problem. There are many people like that, you know. Something actually happened there. I can't speak. I'll fall apart. And they tell me that later. I said, that was powerful. You should have shared that. Well, yeah, but I just didn't. Sorry. Aren't people funny? But what if God is indulgent right now? He's waiting. He's not using his power. He doesn't call on the 12 legions of angels. He just simply lets it be and suffers. I'll tell you, I love that. I love not having any power behind me to back up anything I say. Because then the only ones that can follow from the heart are those that watch you suffer and say, I still believe. That is God. Because there's the transforming power inside of a person that came directly from heaven. The only way you could come to this church, because we don't even advertise. The only way you could come is by word of mouth, and none of people are speaking. So nobody even knows about us, because the people are keeping it a secret. Like, let's not tell anybody. Okay, praise God. So there's no way to get here, because we won't advertise, and we won't have any name speakers, and we won't put ourselves in the paper, and we aren't even probably in the phone book. Probably we're in the phone book, but nobody even knows that we don't even have a name, so how can you name us? And so the whole thing is a joke. In fact, I don't think we are in the phone book. Because we don't have a name. You just can't have a nameless church. It's just, they don't know what to do. So how could anyone know except you tell them? And if you don't tell them, they're not going to know. But why would you tell them if there was no miracle? Why would you tell them, oh, the word is good? No. People are not so interested in the word. I get the word everywhere. So how can you tell what the real word is? Boy, if a sign would come, then you'd know. But if you only because of the sign come, you haven't come with your heart. So God is waiting for liberty to see who are the true hearts. Where's the pure worship that comes forth? Just because of the word, because without faith you can't please God. If you come because of the miracle, it isn't because of the word. Did you hear me? You see, that's why these other churches are big, because they got a lot of that. They deliberately do that just because they can get customers that way. And that's how they build up. But they can have corruption inside the ministry. And yet there are miracles and signs coming. People say, well, I don't know about all that. I just know that my daughter was healed here. I just know this happened or so on and so forth. And they'll stick with it. They don't care that there's mixture in it. They don't care that he's for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. They don't care about that. They don't care that that guy was arrogant or proud or lustful or vengeful or greedy. They don't care about that. They don't care. I love it. Don't you love it? And here I am, I should do something to protect myself a little bit and help out. I don't want to. I'm totally in I'm totally in love. I'm totally happy. It doesn't matter to me. It is nothing to me. Losses are nothing. Suffering is nothing. Do you understand? That's where your character is built. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Suffering is where it's at. I'll tell you, that's the most. And when you get up after the suffering and you didn't actually die, people are amazed. Well, how come you didn't? I thought you were out of business. Nah, you know, at the last minute I was, but the last minute, I don't know, it came through and praise the Lord. Well, I always believed in you, Pastor Jim. Oh, I know. I know you did. I appreciate that. People will say later, now that the power has come. Now, I'm telling you, we always believed in Pastor Jim. We knew he spoke the truth. I know you did. I know. What a blessing to have you back. Sit in the back row. Yeah, no, they can come right in the front because they're just like children. It's no big deal. It's just that they go by power. I'm not bawling them out. It's just a faith, not a faith-based religion. That's a fear-based. When they see the power, they have the fear. But Jesus said this when he was on the mount. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've looked into my face, Moses saw the backside, but in the face of Jesus, we see the front. We see the face of God. What is it? It's authority without the power. The power comes later. When Jesus comes back the second time, he will not be a lamb that was slain, but he will be a lion. And out of his mouth will come a two-edged sword. But he's still the lamb. It is the lamb. But now it's the lamb like a lion. And the wrath of the lamb. You ever seen that? A lamb having wrath? See a lamb chasing a lion. Lions are running away. It never happened. They don't have anything to do it. Their teeth can chew grass. That's it. But they can't bite into anything, or a Tyrannosaurus Rex running from a little lamb. That lamb is like an elephant running from a mouse. There's no way. But when he comes back, he is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, not just on Calvary. Because he restrains power because of liberty to see your heart come forth. That's what history's all about. That's what Cromwell's all about. That's what Queen Elizabeth is all about. That's what the whole of Western society and the whole world is all about, is that their light hasn't ruled except now. And you see, it's in a church. It's not in the state. Even though we have the name of being a Christian state or being a godly nation or something, we don't have the reality. It's a hypocrite thing. And now power has come back with a vengeance to capture everybody, and people are bowing again to be unified and get along with the whole world and so on. Brute force has taken over. Not right, might. Not right, might. But there's only authority in right, not might. So we live suffering, believing in the right. That's what God wants. God wants you to believe in the right and stay. You say, oh, you're so naive. You actually believe truth could win? Yes. Well, you'll see, there'll be none. Okay, I don't mind suffering. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind being patient. The meek shall actually inherit the earth. But the powerful, they're the ones that will fade away. God doesn't want anyone to come because of his lightning and his thunder and his quaking of the mountain. I felt the quake, I saw the lightning, and I heard the thunder. Well, those are your senses. And when you come because of that reason, that is an outward power, that's the backside of God. Out of God's backside comes the thunder and the lightning and the quaking of the mountain. But look, he put a place on top of that mountain which is burning with fire, and Moses was not burned. But he put him inside the cleft of the rock and hid him there, and there he spoke to them of the grace of God. You know why? Because he put his hand over his face, because the law shall not see the Lord. The law can only see the backside of God, but not the face. So God put his hand over him as his face passed by, but then he took his hand off as he saw his backside. You see how he hid him there? Well, what was Moses looking at? The mercy of God. Had he shown him his face, he would have been destroyed, because the law kills. But that wrathful law, that wrathful power, is not the same as God's transforming Holy Spirit power. Two different powers. Two different powers. The power we're after is not the signs and wonder miracle signs that's out there that wins immature people. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. That is good for babies. But don't think that that's how you get mature. Those churches can never mature one believer. They are incapable of it. There's divorce rampant. There's greed rampant. There's materialism rampant. There's ego rampant. They can't produce holiness. They can only get people imputed to be righteous and then get some miracles right away and skip over the soul. They go straight from being born again to power. And in those churches, there's handkerchiefs floating around and everything, miracles and signs and wonders and big screens and nice parking spaces, and they got it all. And people bow and worship. But in the end, their lives fall apart because all they were given was outward power. They came because of the miracle that he did. They came because he fed the 5,000. They came because he healed the sick. They came for all the wrong reasons. It's the thunder and the lightning and the quaking. And that's why they bowed. But you can't tell that their lips are in one place, but their lives, their hearts are far in another place. He's looking for pure worship today. It comes through fire. You need the fire. The Holy Ghost has his own kind of fire. And baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's a baptism of fire that no one wants to go through. I don't know why not. It'll burn up all your wood, hay, and stubble. It's while you're suffering. God, take away the fire. No, this is the Holy Ghost fire. It's a good fire. This is not the wrath fire for the children of disobedience. This is the fire that's for purifying you as a son or a daughter of the king. Moses was hidden so that Jesus could be revealed. When Jesus showed his face to Moses, he couldn't even behold his face because the law cannot look upon the mercy of God. The authority of Jesus is not the authority of Moses. It's the authority of faith, not the authority of fear. The law invokes fear. You know the reason people obey the law? It's because they're afraid of it. But that produces hypocrites. But God doesn't want people to come by the law. He wants them to come by faith, to be a pure heart. And he'll have to give you that because you don't have one. We all have a natural heart to fear, for fear that something bad could happen to me, and I want the good to happen to me. But even if you didn't do the bad, you're still not going to get the good. You can't eat of that tree and be satisfied. You have to be hidden in the rock. Get into that cleft. Let the Lord shield your eyes from the law so that the law doesn't see the Lord. Because the law will never see the face of God. The face of God is revealed in the face of Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they worshiped Jesus. This is what he's looking for. Worship that comes by a personal, intimate revelation, not of performance, but of faith. God's on your side. He loves you. Oh, please, if you could just get nothing else today but that. He loves you. He loves you. Because he loves you, of course he wants to strip the sin from you because the sin is a weight. And the sin, you know what the sin is? You know what the sin is? You know what the sin is? The sin is nothing more than you doing something. Just stop doing something. Let him do it all. Just believe on Jesus. He's not saying obey me. That's the law. He's saying, believe me, trust me, believe me, trust me, believe me, trust me. He's not saying, Barbara, I showed you that sin, now do something about it. He's not saying that. He's not saying that. Louise, stop what you're doing, feel guilty. He's not saying that. What he's saying is rejoice. I've done it all. Here, take this free gift. Just trust me. Come through the fire. Yeah, but there's a fire there. I know, I see it. I put that there. I'm not going to go through the fire, it'll burn me. No, it won't burn your flesh. But it'll release your spirit. It's a different God. The presence of the Lord comes, what? To save, not to destroy. The presence of the Lord comes, what? What kind of authority can you tell it's God because it has this kind of authority? Not to put a burden on you, but to put a blessing to you. To give you a blessing. Not to make you earn it, but to just give it to you. That's authority. And that's why people believe, because they thought, this is a good God. This is not an angry judge. This is a loving Father. And because they believed in that, the power came. But you can't live on the power because the power isn't what makes it so. It's the word that makes it so because God's presence said that word. He came to you. Now, if you believe that, you will see the glory, but later. You'll see some of the glory now, but you'll see all the glory later. And when he comes back again the second time, you will see the full glory of God. Then you'll see it for sure because all the wicked will be removed and destroyed and only the righteous will remain. But that's not today. Today you suffer. Today you suffer. You don't see it yet. I tell you, it's not suffering for me. I'm smiling. Let people abuse, misuse, and so on. It's just proof that we're sons of God because we can wait patiently. He said, wait patiently for me. Just wait. Don't worry. I'll come. I don't want hypocrites. I'm not going to come right away. I'm giving you time to have liberty. Some people hate me. Some people love me. If I corrected Al-Qaeda right now, everybody'd follow me. Everybody'd worship anybody that can solve those problems. God could do it in a second. I could do it. Anybody could do it. He doesn't want it. He wants to leave the troubles there until the church is cleaned up from the inside and not just baby churches out there. He wants the bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, how's that? Well, that's easy. Just fall in love with him. All you need is his presence plus his word. You don't need the power to back it up. You've had enough power. When you first became a Christian, you saw that there's power there. And you still have it. Just don't rely on that. Don't put your weight on that. When a miracle happens, it's just like, yeah, of course. Amen, of course. You know, you don't even need to write a book on it. Today they write books on it every time something happens. You know, I'll bet our church has more miracles than any other church in the world. I'm just saying it. Miracles are easy. It's easy to write. Everybody has a story here that's powerful. But some of the story is deep inside, not just, you know, my leg was broken and then the Lord healed it and I had this tooth out and God fixed it and so on and so forth. Those are easy, and the world loves those kind of stories because they're juvenile. They're used to fear, and they love to get away from fear for a few minutes. But it's pure entertainment, folks. It's pure entertainment. It just entertains people. Because you think, I've had many miracles. If you've had a miracle, you think, well, I'll never forget that. In a few minutes here, you've forgotten already. You see somebody, hey, get out of my way. I'm trying to get somewhere. And I forgot all about that miracle. And it can leave you. I'm telling you, the miracle is only real in the moment when you're in a crisis. As soon as the crisis passes, you've forgotten all about it. God says it this way. Your love is like the morning dew. There was dew this morning. And that's how your love is. As soon as the sun comes up, it's gone. It's just gone. You know, as soon as the day gets going, it's over. What happened to it? Well, it was so tender in the morning. It's true. But God, that's all right. God has come with authority, and here's all he wants. You're a son if you obey my word without any sign, wonder, miracle, or evidence, or proof, just because you believe. I can't do that. God, give me a little help here. He gave you all the help you needed. He does not need to do one more thing for you to worship God purely. You say, well, could you fix my marriage? Then I'll worship. No, you won't. You're lying. If you fix that, then you want something else. If you fix that, you want something else. You fix that, because you are always like, meat, meat, give me more meat. Not going to do it. He's already done everything you need. He created the world and he redeemed it. And now the Holy Spirit is, you know, busy operating, but he can't keep your eyes on Jesus. Your eyes keep going on yourself and other people. You know, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Don't be looking for the signs and the wonders and all that outward stuff. Look inward. Now, you are all growing whether you know it or not, but the growth is taking place underground and nobody sees it. They don't see what's happening in your life. So does anyone want to give a testimony that some underground work is taking place in the roots of my life that's hidden, dark, the world can't see it, but I know it's going on. I'm seeing more sin in my life. I'm seeing more love for God. I'm working less. I'm sweating it less. I'm more restful. God is good, isn't he? Power is restrained by liberty because of grace. Without grace, there would be no power constrained by liberty. Our government, our civil government, has learned that lesson from the church, is power should not be brute force. It should be built on right, not might. But the actual government we have today is full of might and not right. But that's all right. You may have to suffer for a while because of it. But go back to the right and believe in the right rather than the might. Because then everybody's going to believe in the might. They're just going to fight each other. They're just going to destroy each other. And you're not going to have anything. You won't even be a nation. That's how to destroy a nation. Power unsheathed is just brute, one with another, special interest against special interest, and so on. And one will eventually dominate, then another will, you know, rise up and dominate, because in the end, nobody cares about the people who are consenting. They're just mowing them down with power. But that kind of worship is hypocritical and untrue.
Liberty demands that there be a restraint on power so that people are free to actually say what they want. Today, you can't say what you want. It has to be politically correct. You don't have the freedom today to speak out. Even your own group that you're part of, they don't want you to speak out either. Everybody's grabbing for power. They don't want there to be any authority except the authority of the gun, the authority of the power. No, it's power under authority, not authority under power. You see, when someone comes to power, King Henry VIII or, you know, Columbus or anybody, whoever, then they write the history afterward and they justify whatever they did. Because now that they have all the power, they just justify all the brutality that they had to do and still have to do. Because nobody really consented to it. Now, the King Alfred, when he came to power, all the people in his realm loved him. You know what he did? He put the Ten Commandments as the first part of his law. He put Jesus first before he gave his laws. That was powerful. So people liked King Alfred. And he would go into a house, and if the lady of the house has bacon and cookies and he went to grab one, she'd slap his hand. Anybody, any maid housemaid. He said, you know, hey, he was hiding himself. She said, by the way, I'm the king. I don't care who you are. In this house, I'm the king. You know, so she didn't care. And that's a story is told about King Alfred, that he wasn't a king in a power sense. He was a king with authority, and then his power was only to stop the bad people from taking away the freedom and the liberty that his people had. That's Anglo-Saxon liberty. And there's the true use of power. And the common law is built on that, and Western law is built on that. And that's how we got it here. And we've lost it now, but we can get it back. Might is not right. Right is over might. Go back to God's pattern. You're going to have to wait for liberty, and you have to pay with blood. You have to pay with suffering. You're not just going to get it because it's kind of, okay, let's all quit and go on back. No, it's not going to happen. You got to start in your own life. You got to start in your own family. You got to start in your own church. Without the churches being the light, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The communists are not going to quit. The anarchists are not going to quit. The tyrants are not going to quit. None of them are going to go back into their bottle. They're all out, and they're running rampant. And it's a war among the titans now. The Democrats and the Republicans and the independents and, you know, the haters and the apathetic, they're all fighting out there. None of them are ever going to get along. There is no unity in this nation. Zero. Nothing will unite us. No 9/11 is going to unite us. 2 weeks, yes. A month, yes. 6 weeks, okay. But sooner or later, unless you have another, you know, 9/11, we're not going to be united. And it won't work. And even now, we are divided down the middle, and actually, if you look into it, the Republicans are divided down the middle, the Democrats are divided down the middle, and if you look closer, they're divided down the middle. Everything is cleft. There is no hope. You better get back to this, where you've been hidden in the cleft of the rock. That's why Jesus is the rock. The rock that he hid him in was Jesus. And there's where the mercy emerged out of the top of it. That's a religion of faith, not of fear. True worship. All right, I know you don't fully understand it, but go back and read it. Read Matthew 17. Read again Exodus 33. See how the two produce two different approaches, the one on the Mount of Transfiguration, the other on Mount Sinai. Two different ones. God is good. God is good. Make up a good name for this one.